Good evening. Alrighty. Well, it is good to be back in Shannon Hills. It's been a while. I've been gone for quite a bit of time, and for those of you that haven't been keeping up with every minute of my life, I've recently gotten married, you know, past 2 years. But if y'all don't know who we are, my name is Zach Armfield. This is my wife, Paola. She's going to be singing for y'all a little bit later on. I think I know most of y'all, but I grew up here in Shannon Hills. I've been gone for about 6 years. I went to school at Emmaus Bible College and been living in Dubuque, Iowa since then with my beautiful wife. She also came from Columbia, South America, not South Carolina, to Emmaus, studied there, and recently finished with this internship. So we're here to present because y'all were a big part of what we did there, both in all sorts of support, financial and prayer and emotional support with many, many good words, and just we wanted to share it with you. So thanks for giving us the opportunity. So this is also a little bit of a presentation on what we learned, so we thought we'd be fun, and we would start off with a little game to get you all loose and, you know, comfortable. So we're going to talk about Italy and how much you know. So first of all, who's been to Italy? Just a show of hands. That's way more than I thought. Alrighty, here we go. So it's a really easy game. You don't even have to speak. There's just going to be some options up on the screen in answer to a question, and you just raise your hand for which option you think it is when I read it out. Simple enough? Alrighty, here we go. So what side dish do you serve before or with pizza? Is it salad with Italian dressing? Is it breadsticks, french fries, or prosciutto, which is ham? So who thinks it's a side salad with Italian dressing? Okay, I got a few hands there. Who thinks it's breadsticks? A few more hands. Who thinks it's french fries? I got two hands. Who thinks it's prosciutto, which is ham? That's a lot of hands. Turns out it is french fries. Look at that. I have two winners back there. That's great. It really is french fries. Most of the pictures that we're going to show, we took. There's a couple that aren't, but I think only one, actually. So, believe it or not, they serve french fries before you eat pizza, and you always eat pizza for dinner. You don't ever eat it for lunch. If you do, you're a tourist, I guess. So, when you enter an Italian home, first, are you offered a coffee or pastry? Are you taken to the living room to get comfortable? Do they ask you about your family and how you're doing? Or do you just sit down at whatever chair is closest and begin conversation? So who thinks you're offered a coffee or pastry? Okay. Who thinks you're taken to the living room? Who thinks you're asked about your family? And who thinks you sit down and just begin chatting away? Alrighty. You are offered a coffee or pastry always. Like, without a doubt, you will be given something to eat, usually without even asking. They'll just have it in front of you. Most of the time when we would go to people's houses, we ended up in the kitchen eating food and drinking coffee. When do you drink a cappuccino? Whenever a friend invites you out? Before 11 a.m. as breakfast? After lunch for digestion? Or between 4 and 6 with a pastry? So who thinks it's whenever, you can just drink them whenever a friend invites you out? One brave soul. Who thinks it's before 11 a.m. for breakfast? Okay. Who thinks it's after lunch for digestion? And who thinks it's between 4 and 6 with a pastry? Alrighty. It is breakfast. Always breakfast. And they have the sweetest breakfast ever. It's usually just, this is like a chocolate pie. It's like Nutella with cream on top. That was a real breakfast that I had, was a cappuccino with cocoa on it and a pie of Nutella. But they never drink milk before 11 a.m. or after 11 a.m. because they believe that it upsets your digestion to have milk after 11 a.m. Alrighty, lastly, how do Italians greet each other? Is it women kiss on the cheek, men shake hands? Is it a hug and then two kisses, one on each cheek? Is it just a firm hug, or is it two kisses, one on each cheek? So who thinks it's women kiss and men shake hands? who thinks that it's a good old hug and then two kisses on each side? Who thinks it's a firm hug? And who thinks it's two kisses, one on each side? If you guess B or D, I would give it to you, because it's mainly the two kisses, one on each side. Men and men and women. It's always, when you greet someone, it's always left and then right cheek. It's usually like kind of an air kiss to the cheek, but yeah, it was a great shock to me when I first arrived off the plane. So, what we want to talk about tonight is Italy, but mainly what we want to talk tonight about is the Lord and what he's been doing in Italy and what we got to be a part of. We really, really hope that that's what is impressed upon you tonight. Not so much what we experienced or what we did, but what the Lord is doing. And I know that a lot of people know they've been to Italy, or you know about Italy. It's in a lot of films. It's in pop culture. It's a popular place to go on vacation, and people just seem to love it. It has a lot of history. But I think what we would love for you to do is set it all aside, what you know and what you've experienced and what you have learned, and just try to hear what we have to say from fresh ears. We're not experts. This is just our experience of what the Lord led us through while we're in Italy. But what we learned when we were over there is that Italians are people, and they have their own context and their own stories, and it doesn't matter if they're from Italy and they have all the stereotypes of they speak loudly and they say Mamma Mia and they eat pizza, because they all do that. But they have their own story, and it's separate from stereotypes and things that you think you know. And wherever there is people, there is always need. So we're not going to tell you specific prayer items or things that, like, you should pray for this and this is what you need to pray for. But if something catches your eye and you want to ask us about it later, or you really feel strongly the Spirit's telling you to pray for that person or this place, then write it down. But that would kind of be our thrust in our heart for what we're presenting tonight. So, our time in Italy. Our time was spent doing three things. You can see them up on the top there. Learning, cross-cultural service, and it was a vision trip. So it was learning, because this was the end of my beautiful wife's time as a student. This was her culmination after many, many times. She actually canceled this trip 5 times. Finally, we were able to go, and it was a time of learning. We learned about Italian culture. We learned about integrating into another culture. And we also served cross-culturally. We served in a church setting. We also served teaching English, and we'll talk about more of that later. But by the time we actually were able to go, it changed from Pal going as a single student to us going as a married couple, and me actually quitting my job and us leaving our apartment. So it became a very big vision trip of, is this really what the Lord wants us to do? Cross-cultural ministry in missions. Is this really something the Lord wants us to do? Or is it just something we get excited about and have butterflies in our stomach and think would be cool? So it became a vision trip for us, and we took it very seriously in that regard. So we were very excited for it. It lasted from March through May of this year, and it was a very unique experience in a lot of ways, and it was very cool seeing what the Lord is currently doing and will do in the future in Italy. Where we were is a little town called Pietracatella. It has about 1,000 people in it, and it's in the province of Molise, which is kind of the bottom of the barrel in regards to provinces in Italy. Most other provinces joke that it doesn't exist. There is even a Facebook group talking about how Molise is not really a province in Italy. So they really like to make jokes about it. But it's about 1,000 people, and it really gave us a pretty in-depth experience into Italian culture, because it was a very rural area. The people were very close-knit. They knew everybody in the town. And as our friend and neighbor, Tony, who was one of the only, actually the only person in that town who spoke English, he said, you really haven't experienced Italy until you've gone to a small town. That's where real Italy is. When you can go to Florence, you can go to Rome, you can go to big cities, and that's Italy. But real Italians live in small Italian homes. It's about 3 hours southeast of Rome. And we did visit many other places in Molise, as well as some bigger cities, like we visited Florence, and we visited Rome, and Naples, which was a very, very beautiful. All of those were beautiful towns. Our mentors were the Gutensons. You can see them on the screen. The only one not pictured is Noah, their son. It's Rain and Heidi. And then their children, Noah, Mega, Trisha, and Emma. Rain and Heidi are both, well, I shouldn't say both. Rain is Faroese, which the Faroe Islands are part of Denmark. So they actually have the option of just getting a Danish passport when they do get a passport, because the Faroe Islands are so small. And Heidi is a MK, missionary kid from the Philippines. Her mom is American and her dad is Faroese. So she's like third, fourth culture in Italy, and her children are, Noah was born in the UK, yes, and Megan and Trisha were adopted from the Philippines, and are sisters, biological sisters, and Emma was born in Italy. And right around the time that they were finishing the adoption process with Megan and Trisha, they found out they were pregnant, so they went from a family of 3 to 6 in 1 year, which is crazy. But they were a beautiful, beautiful family that we loved getting to know. They offered us a ton of wisdom and experience. And most importantly, they really demonstrated patience, and they showed us how the Lord works through people who patiently persevere. Because they've been in Italy for about 10, 11 years now, and they just now feel like they're at a point where they can really serve the people there. Working in Italy is a very slow ministry, and it takes a long time for locals to accept you as part of the culture. So 10 years later, they finally feel like they're able to really get into people's lives and actually make an impact in a meaningful way. But they really helped us connect to Italians and gain a lot of friendships through their contact. La Fonte, which means the fountain, is the church plant that they have started with another missionary couple that have moved on. So they head up this church plant. It's about 30 people-ish on a good day. It's about 5 families, which is a very, very large church for an evangelical church in Italy. Italy, if you're not familiar, is a very Roman Catholic country by tradition, and that is very evident as soon as you get off the plane. But La Fonte actually was able to come to be because of the hospitality of a elderly evangelical couple. Because way long time ago, the priest of Pietrocatella was studying to, well, I don't know what he was then, but he was studying to become a priest in seminary. And a elderly evangelical couple basically adopted him because he was in a foreign town learning at the school, and he didn't have anybody near him, and they adopted him and took him as their own and just really showed a lot of hospitality to him. And in a small town, the priest has a lot of sway, so a lot of things really don't even get off the ground, projects, new businesses or churches, without the priest's approval. Well, this priest really is friendly towards evangelicals because of the history that this elderly evangelical couple laid down many, many years ago. So when Rain and Heidi came with a church plant, he was very receptive, unlike a lot of other places where people of the similar line of Rain and Heidi have yet to even be able to start a church plant 10 years later. So that was a huge answer to prayer without them even really knowing about it. Its members are quite a few people. There's a lot of families, so there's some young kids, but there's also a lot of immigrants. They say migrants when you're in Italy. So a lot of migrants that come from North Africa. We got to know quite a few of them, and they really come and go. They're not a consistent member of the church, and that's not for lack of conviction or like dedication to the church. Italy is really, they call it a bus stop for migrants, because they come in across the sea, and they want to get up north into Europe because there's more jobs, and there's tighter communities, and there's better reception for them. It's very, very hard to be an immigrant, a refugee, whether legal or illegal, in Italy. It's just a very, very difficult place to be, so they want to move up. We were in sort of the South Central, and it's very racist. It's very hard to be a migrant. If you see someone that is not Italian, they probably are a refugee, unless they are wealthy, and then they're living on the beach. But they are very, La Fonte is a very, very loving and united church. The members come from 3 different towns, actually, to meet in this one town of Pietrocatella, about 10 and 15, 20 minutes away is how far they travel to get there. They welcomed us into the family immediately. We actually arrived on a Sunday, and we went to church that night, jet-lagged, and I almost fell over in my chair, which was embarrassing, to say the least. As far as church ministry goes, I did teaching. We both shared our testimonies and spent time getting to know our new church family. We went to various Bible studies. Paola sang. Paola did quite a bit of singing, and we also went to Bible studies, men and women's Bible studies, and a few conferences. Some of y'all may know Alex Strupp, but I actually got to see him speak over in Italy, which was really, really cool because he spoke in English and I understood it. We also got to experience Agape, which is a monthly meal that they have. I recommend Shane Hills implement it as soon as possible. You have your morning meeting, and then you have about a 3.5-hour lunch where everyone brings food, and it is delicious, and it's so good. It is it's really an amazing experience because the whole thing transforms into like a restaurant. You just eat this delicious homemade food. Yes. Oh. Would that be possible? I aim to please, so I'll just ask the guys in the back. I do apologize for any photography and videography. It's not professional. Just going to lay that out there. Is that better? We working better? All right. All righty. I feel like I'm really in a spotlight now. The other thing that we really experienced lastly was prayer. The La Fonte at least takes prayer very seriously. They meet in people's homes once a week, and they have a prayer meeting. And it was actually a very interesting experience because the first one we showed up to, they give out pieces of paper after you have a coffee and pastries. And you start writing down prayer requests. And you just list them. And, you know, I'm used to that, you know, writing down prayer requests. And, okay, Mr. Mark, you take this one. And, pal, you take that one. And I'll pray for him. And then, okay, here we go. No, they prayed. Rain went first, and he prayed for every single one on the list. And I was like, what am I going to pray for? And then the next person went, and they prayed for every single thing on the list. So it went around about 10 people praying for every single thing on the list, just very intimately and very openly to the Lord. And it was a very, very blessing experience, very humbling, actually, to see how much dedication they have to prayer. We also were a part of youth group. We were kind of the middle-of-the-road aged people. There's youth and there's older people, but there's not young couples especially. So we were able to provide a service of having the youth and giving them a devotional and just hanging out and being friends with them. You can kind of see in the top left corner a blonde boy about to roll some tinsy dice where we're matching up stuff, and that is Noah. He avoids photography because he's a high schooler, and he just, nope, doesn't want the pictures. But we did that, and one of the other things that was just one time was we did an Easter egg hunt with the kids of Pietracatella, which is a very special time. We have a very short video later that you'll see just some very, very just raw off of our iPhone footage. And one of those is of the kids doing the Easter egg, which is a very special time. It was a short program, a gospel presentation, and the kids loved it. It was mainly neighborhood kids and not kids from the church. Besides church involvement, we were part of community involvement mainly through Hello, which was at our English courses. We headed that up pretty much independently. This poster was designed by Rain. He's a graphic design artist, and he helped us get it started and then kind of let us go, which also meant I had to learn how to drive a manual car, which was fun. That was also very embarrassing, but we won't go into that. But this was our main, you could say this was our main ministry in Italy. This was kind of our reason for going with the internship and, you know, specifying and writing papers and stuff that Paul did. This was one of the main parts of it. So we, Paola headed up and I assisted her in putting together a English program. It was in three towns. It was in, Pietracatella, Sant'Elia Pianissi, and Yelsi. All three of those towns are where the church members come from. Pietrecatello and Sant'Elia and Yelsi, we had a conversational adult English course, which was 4 weeks. Yep, 4 weeks, once a week. So we did that, and it was open to anybody that wanted to come, and it kind of filtered itself out once people got a feel for how much English they would need. We had a pretty sizable group at each place, ranging between maybe 10 to 20 people. Which was nice. So we really, really enjoyed our time. We built some friendships from that. But we also had Treasure Island, which was really fun because that was a kids program. We did that one in Yeltsin, so that was our third town, and we did a double program there. So after the English ones were done, we started our kids program, which was 4 nights, and then a Saturday program where we taught them a song and a dance, and we all danced it, and it was loads of fun. It was the most intense one, though, because it being kids, we had to say everything in English and get along a little bit in Italian so they would understand, relying mainly on Paola because my Italian is very bad. But she did wonderfully, and she's an excellent teacher, so the kids really loved her and would do almost anything she said. But it was really, really an awesome opportunity because Yeltsin has not really been touched by La Fonte very much. They haven't done any ministry work there. So this was kind of a first breaking ground type of feeling out situation, seeing if Yeltsin would be very responsive to La Fonte coming in and just having different people interact with the town, because they're very close-knit towns. It was well-received, and actually, in September, La Fonte is moving, just because of the new needs for a building, from Pietrocatella to Yeltsin. So we will actually be able to see in the fall, just hearing feedback from Rain, if it made an impact or not. So you can be praying about that, actually. That will be one thing I do ask you to pray for. The main thing that all of this did was it really opened the door for friendships with local Italians, not within the church. When I say this, I mean the English courses. This is Michele, Angelo, Maria Grazia, and Diana on the left, and this is our friend Luigi on the right. The four on the left are from Yeltsin, and they really, really became good friends of ours. We hung out, actually, outside of class, we would hang out and go get dinner, or maybe just hang out and talk, which was really, really fun because that meant that they genuinely wanted to get to know us as opposed to like, well, this is new and I'm bored, so I'll just come to this English class. Luigi is a friend of Rain's, an excellent musician, and he actually came to our house and taught us how to make lasagna, which was pretty awesome in my book because I got to eat it, so that was great. I mainly just ate. They did all the cooking. But I did take pictures, so that was good. But it really, really opened the door for having genuine friendships in the context of Italy in a non-forceful way. It wasn't like we just went and knocked on someone's door and demanded they be our friends. It was really a natural progression. This is also Marzia and Paolo, not Paola, Paolo. This was our Italian tutor. So we saw her like 2 to 3 times a week. And she was teaching us very intense Italian, but she was also one of the most special people and probably became the closest to Pau, or Pau became the closest to her, and still to this day we'll send her a text message and just chat with her for a brief minute. But we went on a couple double dates with them and enjoyed some time. They are a Catholic couple that are very involved in the Catholic Church, so that's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because they're very open to speaking about religion, talking about the Bible, and just comparing notes, so to speak, and talking about your life story and how the Lord has impacted your life. And I shouldn't say good and bad. It's just a thing. So the other side of it is they are very involved in the Catholic Church. They're youth leaders in the Catholic Church, and they are very, very active in their faith. So they really presented us with a lot of interesting questions about looking at how the Lord works in people's lives and just meeting and talking with people and discussing our own faith and not just presenting messages and information that we've heard, but talking in a real friendship environment. Lastly, we have Yodit and Lamont and then Victor. They are some migrants that we became close friends with. Yodit and her son are actually in England now. They reconnected with her husband, his dad, because the refugee center just sent them to 2 different countries because that's just what you do. So they finally were able to reconnect, which was a huge answer to prayer. They are from Eritrea in North Africa. And Victor is from Nigeria. He has a very, very sad story, which I could tell you about later, but he ended up in Italy and is very grateful for all the Lord has been doing and opening up. And he mainly just works and spends time trying to better his education to support his family back home. But he's about 18, and so we really got to hang out and spend some time with him, which was really special. Last but not least, our landlord and lady, Pina and Leonardo basically became grandparents to us while we were over there, with, and they really checked in on us all the time and would make sure we're doing okay and would make sure that we are, well, sometimes we got sick, so they would bring us soup or they would bring us food, or usually just a little knock at the door and they were there, so you didn't really have any warning or anything. So if you're in your PJs, that's what you're in. But they were really a special couple and would take the time to sit and talk with us however slowly we needed it in Italian, and would tell us their story, and they really, really spent a lot of time with us. Not pictured is our friend Tony that I mentioned before. He spends 6 months in Pietrancitella and 6 months in Florida where he lives. So he has fluent English, and he came our last month, and we became very close friends just because he was the only English speaker in the town, and he, like any Italian, just came right up to our door and started talking to us and just wanted to get to know who we were and why we were in this tiny town of Pietrancitella. And once he found out, then he kept inviting us over for coffee, and, you know, one thing led to another, and we turned out to be friends. So there you go. But I think the biggest thing through these friendships is we learned that, at least in Italy, where we were, some of you have been to Italy, so you may have different experiences, but where we were in the south, we really saw how programs and different things, they help. Like, they're a tool, but they don't necessarily work in the sense of you think of it in maybe an American context. Kind of the, let's go in for a week, and then we're done, and we'll have saved a bunch of people, and it'll be great. You really have to spend a lot of time and perseverance and love. So perseverance and love are pretty much two of the biggest words we came away with in getting to know Italians on a genuine friendship level. It takes a long, long time, and they're very, very resistant. They love to be upfront about, you know, just superficial things, about clothes and how you look and food, and they love to talk about their family, but if it's deep, deep things, like their beliefs, they will shy away. That's the reception that we were met with. So these friendships really gave us some more opportunities to get to know genuine Italians and hear their stories and what they have to say, which was a very, very special experience. So a question that we came away with before and after was, Italy is a very beautiful place. So a lot of people have some views on, is it really a mission field, or is it like, wow, you got to go 3 months to Italy for your internship. That's pretty cool. I wish I could go to 3 months, or I could live there. This is kind of a mentality that Rain and Heidi have actually met quite a few times. A sad story would be another friend of ours. He's the head of New Tribes missions in Italy, and he went on a trip with another New Tribes person. They went to an Asian country. I'm not sure which one, so I'm not going to say one. But they were in the jungles, and they were about to do some work there. And his friend turned around to him, the Italian missionary, and said, "Now you're going to see real missions." And that was just like, it really hurt me for him, because it's really hurtful for someone to take your work and just say, "Well, it's kind of fake. Like, you're doing like okay stuff, I guess." So this was a mentality that we were kind of met with before and while we were there, and we talked through. So we thought we'd just talk about a little bit about what Italy is like from an evangelical gospel standpoint. And what we have is from our experiences and what we've learned from the Gutensens and other people, as well as Operation World, which is a book that has a lot of references for missions. Evangelicals make up about 1.1% of the population. Roman Catholicism reigns as king, but that's with a lot of older generations. A lot of the younger generations are actually moving away. They're actually moving away because they just really have an indifference to the church and the gospel. They really would actually prefer the occult and prefer anything that's just kind of new agey and is searching and it feels good, because they've heard about Jesus, they've heard about Mary, they've heard about the Bible, and it's just, that's what my parents believe, and I don't really want it anymore. And older people actually say, that is what my parents believe, so if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. So there's a great indifference to the gospel, which is really hard. Some of the needs of the church that we saw were strategic church planting. It's very rare, actually, for there to be an evangelical church in a town. And what I mean by town is, I'll get to that later. It's any community, so ranging from Rome to Pietra Catella, but I'll talk a little bit about that later. Smaller churches tend to be, even in evangelical circles, very resistant to change. They've done things a certain way for a long time, and that's how they're going to keep doing them. And larger churches, well, there's a lot of superficiality. In the evangelical circles, that's also counting some of the bigger charismatic churches, which do have very genuine believers in them, but also tend to range in their population, just kind of flowing and spilling out, and people coming and going as they really want to. Discipleship and servant leadership are two needs, not only because people aren't doing them, but also because they're not there. We've talked at camp, actually, we've had some talks about servant leadership, and one thing was mentioned was it's good in your life, this is a rule of thumb, it's good to have a Timothy, a Paul, and a Barnabas, someone that you can mentor, someone that can mentor you, and someone that can encourage you. And I was reflecting on that, and I was thinking about Italy, and I was like, well, sometimes you might not find a Paul. Or you might not even find a Timothy or a Barnabas. So you're really, it's like, I want to, but I don't have anyone. So there's also that kind of difficulty, not just, oh, I'm not willing, and I don't really want to do this. So I wanted to just kind of throw that out there as well. The least reached, and what that means is, this is going back to that communities, about 8,000 and some communities, and about 70% of them don't have an evangelical, Bible-believing, gospel-centered church. And for an example, Yeltsy, Pietracatella, and Sant'Elia all share members into this church in La Fonte. La Fonte is moving from Pietracatella to Yeltsy, which means Pietracatella will lose its church. So Yeltsy is gaining a church, but Pietracatella is losing one, so that really just evens out in the end as the same number of churches that were there before. So it's really hard because these towns sometimes are only 10 minutes away, but they're completely different. You can go 20 minutes, 30 minutes across Greensboro, but you go 10 minutes through a windy little country town to another town and they have a whole new dialect. They might be rival towns and they don't even really like the other people. So it's just a completely different culture and environment, so to speak. Another thing is there's a huge amount of students, both nationally and internationally, that come and go. So that makes a big influx of young people, which makes it harder to minister. There is a large percentage of Muslims, mainly from North Africa. About 70% come from North Africa. And that is a whole new sort of training and experience that local Italians need, as well as missionaries. So if you're used to ministering to people in this one regard, and then all of a sudden you have an influx of people that have a whole new context, you need new training or you need new experiences and you need a whole lot more support from the Holy Spirit because you just have a new ministry altogether that you didn't even ask for. It's just there. And you can ignore it, but that's hard to do when they're right in front of you. Illegal immigrants is an interesting subject because this also means refugees, mainly illegal or legal immigrants, are going to come from a refugee scenario. So it's not like someone is creeping into Italy because they want to get a better life in Italy. Like I said, they want to go up north. So some of them go through all the legal channels and they come through only to be stuck and not even get into the country. Some of them go illegally and, like Victor, maybe buy their passage through slavery almost onto a boat, make it across the sea by a stroke of luck because he had 4 boats. He was on one of them. His was the only one that didn't sink. So thousands of people died on his trip across the sea. And when he was there, he was in shock for 3 days thinking he was dead. 3 days later, he realized, I'm not dead. And so he went on and he praised God that he actually made it to Italy. This is the reality of refugees that are in Italy. So saying, I'm an illegal or I'm illegal, really makes it difficult to differentiate. And once they even get into the system, the Italian government is a very corrupt government. And so they actually use it. It's a for-profit business for them. Refugees is basically a business. They get money for sending in the towns, and so they use it like that. Basically, to sum it all up, Italy was a very intimate and amazing experience because of the culture and the food and the people and the history that we saw. But what we came away with was, if the Lord takes us back to Italy, which we're praying about, and he may not, it's a long and very, very difficult road. A lot of perseverance and a lot of love is needed for not just, you know, new people that are coming in, refugees and migrants, but Italians. Italians sometimes can be hard to love. They're very upfront. They'll tell you right away, like, oh, Zach, you shaved your beard. You look terrible. Oh, look, you gained some weight. You should work out more. And this is all normal first thing in the morning conversations. So they're very amazing people and we love them. But ministry in Italy is slow. And it's a reality that a lot of people aren't aware of. Not because they something's wrong or they don't want to be aware of. It's just not really a common topic. So that's something we really came away with, is perseverance and love and a lot of the Holy Spirit and guidance from the Lord. He's doing amazing things in Italy, and he really is doing amazing things to reach these beautiful people. But a lot of prayer and a lot of people going is needed. So lastly, we wanted to say thank you. I know this is dark. I'm sorry. Without y'all's help, we really would not have made it. Both all of it, emotional, financial, prayer, it was needed because it was a hard time getting there even. We had nerves going there because we've had so many paperwork problems in the U.S. and all these things are just running through your brain as you're trying to get things ready. And it was amazing knowing that we had people praying for us back home and responding to letters we sent out and our emails that we sent out and receiving support out of the blue is just, you really can't understand it until you've experienced it. It really has a peaceful and calming effect in knowing that other brothers and sisters are thinking about you on a 14-hour time difference, and it's 3 in the morning. So thank you all. You were a very crucial part of this, and we really wanted to share this experience with you. So we have a very short video, which we may, I don't think it's very dark. So you may be able to see it, but if we want the lights off, I'm going to start playing it, and then I'm going to enlarge it because it doesn't like the screen. I'll talk a little bit as well. So, real footage.
Going to La Fonte.
Ah, here we are. We lived about a 2-minute walk from the church. The
key to this door is like an ancient key. Ciao!
Ciao!
Un secondo, dove siamo arrivati? Da questo punto, iniziando da Pietra Catena.
This is a Agape meal.
They
love soccer, even just on food.
This girl.
This is the Easter egg.
Mama.
English class. Can we turn it up a little?
Hola. I am from Bogota, Colombia, South America. But I live in Dubuque, Iowa, in the United States.
Very good. All right. What about this one?
You can say it in Italian.
A little help.
Yeah,
English celery. Celery.
She's a teacher. What does she, what does she teach? What is she learning?
English.
Ah, so she would come here. What does she like to do?
Right.
Okay, wow. Spanish. Okay. Okay.
So, number
six.
Color.
Green.
Number.
Sì, sì, no, va bene così.
Va bene?
Sì, sì. Okay. Poi quando, 2 o 3 minuti.
2 o 3 minuti.
3 o 4 minuti così. Questo chiude.
Please ignore all the dishes we haven't washed. Back
so, così.
Okay. Non sappiamo. Oh, grazie!
Ma è come fate in America? È come i germanesi.
Sì.
Grande caffè.
Sì.
Oppure in America.
Ma... Sì. He does the Italian hand gesture. Oh, yeah, man, you're funny.
Let me take that.
This is our.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, it trembled. No. Are you taking a picture?
I'm taking a video.
Oh. Wow. I
know
it's
not
that
bad.
Yeah,
go with this
one. Do what?
Wait, wait.
Oh, yes. Are you nervous?
No.
That's our friend Morgan. Wow. She's actually from France. She was there doing an internship as well.
That's not as high as I thought, actually.
Okay, finally. It's our turn. We're gonna pick it up and have a comeback.
You're so funny.
Well, Pau is actually going to come sing, and then I'm going to come up and do a very brief thought for y'all. I thought I'd have her go ahead and sing, and then I know I'm going to stretch it a little bit longer, but y'all are just going to go eat watermelon, so I know you don't have anywhere to be, so it's okay. But Pau is actually going to come up and sing. The song that she's singing, as she comes up, I'll explain. Our friend Victor, which I explained, he has a very difficult past. And a very hard journey. He made that journey on the boat when he was 12. And this song that she is going to sing was one that she was trying to figure out a song to sing in Italy. And he suggested this one because this one is his favorite. So as you listen to the words, just think about Victor and what he has seen the Lord do in his life and how grateful he is to the Lord for all he's done.
When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Se dentro me perso la speranza e sento che certezze più non ho, non temerò ma aspetterò in silenzio, perché io so che sei vicino a me. Se non avrò più forze, mi rialzerai con te, ce la farò. Sarai con me nel buio della notte, mi rialzerai e in alto volerai.
Okay, if you'll turn to Psalm 139, just as we end tonight, like I said at the beginning, I hope that this has been a time that you learned and saw what we did and it was fun, but that you saw what the Lord was doing, more importantly. So this psalm is possibly familiar to some of y'all. And for lack of time, I won't read through the whole thing. I'll just read the first four verses and then a few other verses, and I'll say where they are. So starting in verse 1 of Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Verses 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me. Skip down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. The psalmist here highlights two things, multiple things actually, but two of them are the omnipresence, the ability that God is everywhere and able to be anywhere, and the omniscience, the knowledge of God, that he knows everything. But the word that leaps out to me is the word intimate. How intimately the psalmist speaks of the Lord knowing him. Now, the psalmist does talk a lot about himself, but his focus is on the Lord. Really, I feel like we can put ourselves in each one of these things. I don't know where your relationship is with the Lord. I don't know if you have one with him. He definitely has one with you. He knows who you are, and he made you. And I don't know on what level you are aware of him, or if you know of the work that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, where he died, he came and lived a perfect life, died and rose again, and is your Savior. But irregardless, there's a very clear message that the Lord knows each and every one of us. And he knows us intimately. There's a lot of circles of intimacy. I have acquaintances, and I have friends. I have family. On the most intimate level, or almost the most intimate level, I have my spouse. And then there's myself. But even deeper than myself is the Lord. Through the past couple of years, he's shown me things that were inside of me, good and bad, that I had no idea was there. And that's a very amazing thing that only the Lord can do. Throughout life, there's going to be times of uncertainty. Sometimes I feel like life is always uncertain. And when we think it is certain, is usually when the rug gets ripped out from under us. But whether it's location changes, or someone in your family going through a hard time or passing away, or just personally, there's a lot of things changing and you just don't really feel locked in. You don't really feel like you have anything to stand on. This psalm has always provided the assurance that I'm known by somebody, that you're known by somebody, that the Lord is always there. He created us. He created the psalmist, and he has the most intimate knowledge of you that anyone in this world, or sorry, more intimate knowledge than anyone in this world will ever be able to attest to. He's a constant when so many other things are just all over the place. This was a very big encouragement to us as we were learning a new culture and as we came out of one. But whatever situation the Lord is leading you through, or whatever situation you think you're going through on your own, there is always someone there. The Lord is always there. Like the psalmist, we might feel hidden or far away. More of the psalm, I would encourage you to read it later, talks about how he feels like he could go to the darkest places and it wouldn't matter. Because the Lord already can see him and he already knows him. He could go to the depths of what he says, Sheol, the darkest, most deepest, horrible place he could think of, and the Lord would still be able to see him, because darkness is like light to the Lord. So no matter what is happening in your life, the Lord is not surprised. There's nothing that you can go through, experience, think, or feel that will take the Lord by surprise. Ever. Which is a very incredible thing to rely on. It's nothing to do with me. My salvation in Jesus Christ has nothing to do with me. It's completely to do with him. And that's a huge comfort when you don't really have any certainty. Like in there's verse 18, which says, when I awake, I'm still with you. So anytime that you wake up or that I wake up, we have our Savior. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you wake up, I firmly believe that if you wake up one day and you're not on earth, you're going to be with Him. And that's an amazing comfort to me, because no matter, even if I die, I'm going to be fine. Because He's still going to know me. He's going to be right there. So again, I don't know your level of relationship. If you hate the Lord at this point in your life because of things that have happened, if you've never really thought about it, or if you are clinging to Him like He's the last lifeline you have, because He pretty much is, just remember that no matter what experience you have or where you go in this world, your Creator will never be surprised by the circumstances that you're in. And He's never, ever going to leave you. Ever. So thank you so much for letting us come tonight and be a part of a family that we have here in the South. Should I pray for the watermelon? Should I do that? Seeing some nods of approval. let me pray, and then I'll tell you what. Since it is 5, 6, almost 10 after, we're going to wander up that way. And if you have any questions, instead of taking them here, you can find us eating some watermelon, and I will guarantee we'll try to answer them. How about that? Okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for people and the love that You have for Your creation, for people. Lord, we thank You for Shannon Hills and the people here in North Carolina. We thank You for the people in Dubuque, Iowa. We thank You for the people in the United States, in the world, and how the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of us. Not just one, or you don't have to be good enough to earn that gift. You can accept it no matter what situation you're in. Thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. And thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy and Your consistency, and that You won't leave. Thank You for this provision of delicious watermelon that we're about to partake in, and more importantly, the fellowship of the people that we're about to share it with. Thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name we pray.